All brothers, sisters, and dear MC, I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust all of you are keeping well by the grace of God in spite of all the challenges and pressures you may be going through right now. But friends, you know, it is so important this season and time as we're very much caught up with the affairs of our nation. And also right now as well, as we are celebrating 64 years of Merdeka here in Malaysia. And as we also look forward towards Malaysia that is coming up in just over a week's time. What is it about this land, this nation that you and I should grapple with, should really come to grips with, which is, I think, so important. And therefore, today, I want to speak about the role of Christians in the nation, our nation of Malaysia. I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. And Peter writes, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instead of among men, whether to the king as a supreme authority or to governors, who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the King. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank and praise you for this land of Malaysia where you put us in, O God. Thank you for this great land that you bless us, our Father, in all that we're seeking to work out in our discipleship, O God, I pray. Can you lead and guide us? We'll be faithful, the loyal citizens of our nation, or people living this land, to play our part, O God, in building up this nation. And now, Lord, we pray you'll take your word, speak to us, so that we know what it means to be Christians in our nation, in this beloved land of Malaysia. Challenge us, Father, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Friends, as all of us know, friends, there is God's amazing design for each one of us, friends, because we're not here by accident. Why is this the case? Right? We notice here, friends, Apostle Paul in preaching in Mars Hill, Areopagus there in Athens. This record given to us by Dr. Luke from Acts 17 and in verse 26. Paul says, "From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined time set for them, and the exact places where they should live." It's an amazing, friends. Apostle Paul's preaching there, okay, in Athens says, God has in essence determined a time set for us, but also the exact places where we should be. And friends, you know, in this season and time of our lives, God has designed for us to be here in Malaysia exactly and nowhere else, isn't it? In God's wisdom economy, friends, he has placed us in this great land of Malaysia. What a wonderful nation that he has placed us in. And friends, if God has put us here, out of 7.5 billion people, surely there must be a purpose, isn't it? And this is where, friends, you know what? You and I must seek out God's mind, God's heart, God's purpose for us in this nation of ours, so that we play our role well and properly, friends, as we work out our discipleship, which is crucially important for you and our friends. So never miss out, friends, in this God's design and greater still God's purpose for us in this wonderful land of Malaysia. As we work it out, friends, I trust, I pray that we'll bring our influence, okay, to play in our land like this. The second thing is that we are here to live in a certain way. Not only God has designed us specially to be here in Malaysia, but also a certain way you and I must live. And so Peter writes here in verse 16, "Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God." So friends, we're supposed to live as free men. How can we experience real freedom like this as we work out, okay, our place in this land of Malaysia? Friends, it is where Jesus tells us like this, okay, in John chapter 8 and in verse 32. "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." How to live in real true freedom? It is, friends, when we know the truth. And what is the truth, or where is it to be found? Jesus tells us further in John chapter 14 and in verse 6. "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." See, friends, truth is found in Jesus, not in a doctrine, not in a belief, but in the person of Jesus Christ. Friends, here is the audacity of this man who claims that "I am the truth, the way, and the life," friends. And therefore, you know, friends, Jesus opens himself up for only three options available to all of us human beings. What are they? Firstly, if Jesus says, "I'm the truth," he could be maybe lying to all of us. He's a liar. And this is where he opens himself for examination. Or if not, he could be a lunatic, a madman really. And if it's a madman who claims what he claims, we can all forgive him. We can all understand this. If Jesus is not a liar, not a lunatic, there's a third L. Jesus then must be Lord. Friends, That's the reality and the challenge he offers to every human being on earth here. His claims is really outrageous. He makes no apologies about his claims, friends, that he's really God at the end of it all. And that's why, friends, the birth of Jesus is unique. Not only it is unique, the teachings of Jesus are unmatchable. Jesus' life himself is sinless. He says, who of you, talking to his opponents, can find any wrong in me? Basically challenging his opponents to find sin in his life like this. Not only, friends, you know, as I said, his claims are outrageous. He claims to be God. Even his disciples were shocked. For example, the apostles met together and they told Thomas after Jesus has rose up from the dead, appeared to his disciples there, right? But Thomas wasn't there. But the other disciples said to Thomas, we have met the risen Lord. Thomas said, I don't believe at all. Okay, I need to touch him and see him for myself. Another time when Jesus appeared, where Thomas was there, Jesus said to Thomas, touch me and see. And Thomas there and then said, my Lord and my God. Friends, you know, no one in a right Jewish mind would dare to say like this, because any Jew who say like this would be stoned to death. That's why they want to stone Jesus to death, because of his claims. And this is where, friends, you and I ought to be, okay, exposed, challenged by what Jesus claimed. I am really the Lord and the God, the truth that if you know me, you'll be set free. You'll live not in bondage, but in real true freedom. And that's the offer, friends, you know, Jesus Christ extends to every human being on earth, that you and I must come to grips with, really. More than that, friends, you know, we notice here Prophet Micah tells us like this about how we should be living. Here, chapter 6, verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. He said, the first place, to act justly. That in, for example, in our workplace, to make sure we treat people with dignity and respect, we don't bully them, we take advantage of them. That in our relationship as well, we're not abusive, oppressive, in our speech too. We must not be abusive, oppressive towards people. That's what it means by acting justly, okay, with one another. But also to love mercy, to act out compassion and kindness and love and care for people around us. For example, here in Right Dream Center, as you all know, in DUMC, we've been offering free food to people, all right, to come to collect, okay, in the last 1.5, close to 2 months now. Anyone can come to collect, right, ready-cooked food for them. And you know what? As we act in such kinds of mercy and compassion, it has produced great friends, you know what? Great goodwill with the people who come. Chinese, Indians, Malays, all races, including migrant workers, you know, to connect with them. And friends, what a joy, privilege for you and I in DUMC to be able to get to know them, see how they are doing, talk with them, share with them, invite them to come. And there's so much goodwill in the process of these acts of mercy, friends, you know. A number of these people say, when is your church opening? We want to come, really, friends. And it's so important, isn't it, as we act it out like this in a wonderful, besides that of acting also justly. But there's a third area of really walking humbly before God. Friends, you know, humility attracts. And humility is something, friends, that draws the presence of God, and which is also, friends, draws other people as well. But we act in pride when we are aloof and cut off from people, friends. We find people distant from us, and they'll be so sad, isn't it? And friends, you know, this is one of the habits, okay, one of the DNAs of DMC we seek to cultivate, isn't it? And so here, friends, is a command for you and how to live our lives like this, to act justly, to love mercy, but also walk humbly with your God. Friends, if this is God's design for us, then what is God's destiny? How is it that God wants you and I to live out our lives in our nation like this here in Malaysia? Firstly, friends, you know what? Our role is to pray, that we are called to pray, right? Apostle Paul writes to young Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. See, first and foremost, right, to pray, to lift up leaders, rulers, whoever they may be, right, in our land, our nation, before God. Friends, you know, prayer, as we all know, is powerful. Prayer is sharing in the resources of God he's making available to his children. So when we pray, intercede, friends, God works in a powerful manner. Even one person, as we are told here in Ezekiel chapter 22 and in verse 30, right, Ezekiel writes, right, God speaking to Ezekiel, God says, I look for a man among them who built up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it. But I found none. What a sad commentary, isn't it? God is speaking, right, through Ezekiel to the people of God. God is looking for just one person, and there's just one person who is willing to stand in the gap on behalf of the land to pray, intercede, and ask for God's mercy and grace. God said, I will not destroy. But here, tragically, God said, I could find not a single person. Friends, you know, one person can make a huge difference, even in prayer. And that's why, friends, when we all could gather like this together, how powerful it is, isn't it? As we seek the heart, the mind, and pray in God's purpose and power. Now, you and I remember, isn't it? In the run-up to GE14, all right, general elections, okay, many been praying. And then just the day before polling day, all right, May the 9th, May the 8th night, all right, many of us gathered here, okay, in Dream Center to pray, isn't it? And that evening, the prayer meeting started at 10 p.m. As Doris and I walked in to join the prayer meeting, what happens is Pastor Chris M. saw me, rightly walked towards me and said, Pastor, could you speak or not? Well, I said, sure, of course, very, very happy to. And that night when my turn came to speak, I felt deeply impressed upon my heart to speak from Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 8, where it says, can a nation be born in a day and okay, a country brought forth in a moment? Friends, it is a rhetorical question, actually. Can it be birthed in one day? All right, here, Prophet Isaiah is saying to all of us. And the answer it begs is really yes, that a nation overnight or a new nation overnight can be born. And friends, you know, that night I felt very strongly, right, calling everyone present, right, this night we should pray. And not just pray, Lord, for your will to be done. Really pray for the change of government. Because I just sense in my heart, maybe enough is enough, you know. And God, in mercy and grace, as we heard our prayers, intervene in a powerful manner the next day. Of course, it's not just our prayer. Prayers of many across our nation and many around the world are burdened and concerned about Malaysia, friends. And believe, friends, you know, it is a prayer of God's people, plus many others, friends. God intervened and brought a miracle in our land, as we all know, is it? That many non-Christians themselves recognize. This is a miracle of God that has taken place in Malaysia. That shows, friends, you know, how much God loves Malaysia. So, friends, pray, intercede. Don't give up whatsoever. Even in times like this that we face a huge, massive challenge, friends. The second thing for all of us is the call to submit. Why Peter tells us, verses 13 and 14, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instead among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. See, the call is also to submit, right? Submit to the authorities that are over us like this. Okay, but friends, you know what? This submission is not a blind one. It is intelligent submission, and that's very important, friends. Because sometimes, you know, when authorities misuse their power in a position, it is such a tragedy, isn't it? Why? Because you've noticed, friends, here, Scripture tells us very clearly and circumscribes the authority, okay, that should be using their power in a right, proper manner, right? Because here in verse 14, right, Peter says, they are sent by him, by God, to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. What if authorities are involved in punishing those who do right and commend those who do wrong instead, isn't it? What has happened in this case here? Really, you know, friends, then the authority concerned has lost that God-assigned role that they should be playing. Why? Because authorities are not a power to themselves. They can do anything they like, anything they wish. No such things, friend. And that's why Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 13 and in verse 4, right, in this manner. For he is God's servant, referring to authorities. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. See, in this one verse, Apostle Paul mentions about the authorities here. He says, he is God's servant. And the servants of God, surely, friends, right, they are responsible, indeed incumbent upon them to do that which is right and good and proper. In others, for example, punishing wrongdoer and commend those who do right. But as I said earlier on, when authorities do the reverse, punishing those who do right and upholding those, okay, who do wrong. Friends, you know, it is a sad and a tragic, friends, you know, commentary on the authorities of the day. It is never easy, friends. And this is where there's a place for civil disobedience, I want to say. A place to gather to demonstrate, okay, against the authorities that misuse his power in his position like this. I mean, it's very important. And when we gather, friends, it must be one that is done in a civil manner. Not in violence, not in language that is foul or that is abrasive or provocative whatsoever. All right, and it's very important. The right to peaceful assembly is guaranteed in the Federal Constitution of Malaysia. You need to get to come to grips with, and that's very important, friends, for all of us. For example, all right, there was a call, okay, for really people to assemble together in Dataran Merdeka a few years ago about the disappearance of Pasir Raymond Ko and Amri Chitmat. Okay, this Malay activist from Perlis who was also abducted without knowing what has happened to him today, likewise that of Pasir Raymond Ko. So that evening, all right, Doris and I went, and a few others from GMC joined me, right, in that van when we go down like this. And you know, that evening's event was organized by CAGED, C-A-G-E-D, which stands for Citizen Action Group on Enforced Disappearance. But it was also supported by 46 NGOs, and some of these NGOs are actually Muslim NGOs coming out in support, okay, that this kind of adoption disappearance is, okay, unacceptable. And so we were there. On the way there, by the way, a brother in a car from UMC said, "Pastor Dan, I'll be your bodyguard." I was so pleased about that. So that night when I went there, without me realizing, the chairman of the organizing committee that night saw me, walked up towards me, don't recognize him, and said, "Pastor Daniel, could you speak?" I said, "Sure, of course, very happy to." As you all know, friends, we just helped Mr. Mandy, we must always be ready for three P's, ready to pray, to preach, and to perish. I said, "Yeah, of course." So after different people spoke, and then followed by Ambiga, the former president of Bar Council of Malaysia, after that, I was introduced, okay? And Pastor, can you take over and speak? So I went up there to speak, okay? And the top of Pastor Raymond Ko, what a wonderful man of God, really, right? He has been like this to all of us, a friend, not from DMC, but a friend I've known for more than 30 years, a faithful, humble servant, very sacrificial in so many ways, as well as that of the family. And then after that, I said, I want to commend the police as well for allowing this gathering of people who meet together like this, they're trying to meet in a peaceful manner. Police, I said to them, well done. There are many police officers in uniform, plain clothes as well, were all there, okay, mingling in the midst of all the crowd. And some of these are with video cameras. As I was speaking, the video camera got closer and closer to me. And you know what? My bodyguard who stood next to me started moving away. At the end, I went up to him and said, "Hey, my friend, what happened to you? How come you walked away from what kind of bodyguard?" He said, "Oh, Pastor, Pastor, this is getting too close to comfort." But friends, you know what? This is a reminder to all of us, okay? The rights of a citizen in our nation to peaceful assembly, all right, must be something that UN must understand, must know. Why is it so important? Why in verse 17 of 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter writes, "Show proper respect to everyone, love the brother of believers, fear God, honor the king." See, friends, we're supposed to fear God, honor the king, not the other way around. Not fear the king and honor God. Not fear men, friends. Because the Bible tells us the fear of men is a snare. And that's very important, right? Because when there's a fear of God, you and I know when we do things that are right because we fear God, we have no fear about men or for men, indeed. That's very important, isn't it? For you to understand. So, friends, you know, when we play our part and we exercise, friends, our rights, we continue to press on, friends, as we submit to the leaders of our nation, submit to the authorities, okay, that are there over us. We submit intelligently and not blindly, and that's very important for all of us. A third thing that you and I are called to do is to engage. Called to engage as part and parcel of our citizenship in our land, in our nation, of people in our land and nation. And so verses 15, 16 here. "For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover of evil. Live as servants of God." See, friends, once again, we are told to live as servants of God, but also to be involved in doing good, as Peter tells us, isn't it? Even for those who might not sometimes, you know, agree with us, might not support us, might even oppose to us, but we must be involved in always doing good. And that's important as we engage with people around, whatever racial, ethnic, religious, okay, social background. We must be involved and engaged, and that's very important for you and I. Why is this the case? Because Jesus tells us as to who we are. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they are put on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now see, salt is only useful provided it comes into contact, isn't it, with meat, whatever, that needs to be prevented from decay or rot whatsoever. Likewise, light is only useful in a place of darkness. Otherwise, it is useless, as it were, isn't it? What does it mean? It means, friends, we must get involved. We must get engaged. We must connect with people around us, which is very important, friends, for all of us, and not hide by ourselves and keep to ourselves as Christians and Christians only, friends. What a tragedy. Now, there are three levels of engagement. What are they? The first level is a service level. In other words, offering services, okay, to people in the community. And for this, friends, can I say, the church has been outstanding the last 2,000 years, isn't it? All right, for example, UMC, we've got so many services we offer to the community, whether it be street ministry and food bank, our star youth helping, okay, those who are specially challenged in different ways, as well as, friends, you know, reaching out, all right, to help those who have hooked on drugs and so on and so forth, many other things involved. And right now, friends, you know, offering service in terms of food for the community, you see. What a privilege, blessing, and joy that we've been involved in, plus many churches around the world as well, you see. That's the first level. But we must move beyond service level to advocacy level. And so, you know this, friends, Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9, it says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak out and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. See, friends, you've got to speak out and defend on behalf of those who are oppressed, marginalized, on behalf of those abused and exploited. Friends, that's the part Scripture tells us to step up, to get involved, engage as well. It's very important. But it's a third level, and the third level, public policy level. See, friends, many times what goes wrong down, okay, at the grassroots is because of bad policy at the top, because of bad, friends, policies and whatever else, okay, that is enacted. As a result, friends, you know, we see all the problems down there. But it may not be policies, friend. It could be implementation. In fact, Malaysia were well known for very good policies, and we thank God for that. But friends, it is in the process of implementation we find all the leakages, all the things that go wrong. And this is where some of us, friends, you know what, should be involved in public administration of the country. Get involved in civil service, whatever else, friends, so that we ensure that there'll be good implementation, whatever policies be enacted to make sure that everybody down the line, friends, will be well taken care of and fairly, friends, you know, treated in our land, our nation here in Malaysia. That's important. Now, why is it sometimes as Christians we are fearful to get involved or we're not keen at all? Firstly, right, it could be comfort zone. We like to remain in our comfort zone. We don't want to get up, okay, to dirty our hands so because we feel comfortable to be where we are. But friends, this is not what we see in Scripture at all. Or secondly, because of fear. Fear of knowing how to connect with people from other faiths, okay, other ethnic, social backgrounds. See? Or sometimes fear of getting into trouble. Again, friends, Scripture tells us, all right, to be wise in all that we do, but not be gripped by fear, because the fear of man can be a snare, as we all know. Or thirdly, it could be rationalization. What we think, for example, maybe this is not my cup of tea. Other people are good at it. Other people should get it, not me at all. But it's a fourth thing. Sometimes we do not know how to. Can I urge you, encourage you? There are different civil society groups, even groups started here in UMC. You and I can get involved. And so, for example, CNBN, Citizens Network for a Better Malaysia, drawing friends, you know, all right, Malaysians and whoever else in Malaysia to come together, work for a better Malaysia. And we've got different programs that we have run in the past. For example, about the whole area, human rights, about governance, okay, good governance and politics, about the whole area of anti-corruption and many other issues we deal with, friends. These are things you and I, as Christians, get involved and engaged in. Another one we started here in UMC, CBI, Coalition for Business Integrity, isn't it? Right? Concern and burden, really, to see how to make sure that businesses across the country will be practicing good, okay, business ethics. And that's important for us, isn't it? Now, we're taking this out of UMC. Why? Because we want to draw many other businesses who are run by non-Christians, because it's open to everybody, not just Christians. Far from it, we want to draw everybody in. So together, friends, we believe as we practice good business ethics, right, this will begin to impact, influence the marketplace for Christ. And out of that, touch the nation in a wonderful manner. Friends, these are things we get involved. Or groups outside as well, like C4, okay, the Center to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, can get involved in as well, friends, you know. And these are just some of the many groups, friends, as we get involved, as we teach you, we are fearful. Slowly, so friends, the increasing confidence, boldness in you to see our part, our role. Why? Because we are light of the world and salt of the earth to prevent corruption, decay, to dispel darkness, okay, and everything that is wrong in our nation. It is so important for all of us, etc. But there's one final call that God is making to all of us. Call to transform. Transform our land and our nation. Right? Jesus tells us his parable in Matthew 13 and verse 33. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. So like a yeast, small amount that is introduced to the flour. It changes, it transforms, okay, the flour to become a wonderful dough that is ready for people, isn't it, as cereal to eat. And that's how, friends, you know what? Jesus tells you and I. We are like small, we are yeast, like small little amount. But friends, never underestimate smallness or small beginnings. It will impact, influence, and change the world for Jesus Christ. Ultimately, friends, what is it that will transform? It is really the good news of Jesus Christ. You and I know. That's the reason, my friends, Jesus' last command, right, should be really our first commission to give ourselves to. Or Jesus' last commission should be our first command for you and I to obey. Jesus tells us like this in Matthew 28, right, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them, to his disciples, and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Friends, imagine, here is Jesus, a man of 33 years old, right, in a small little town of Nazareth that he originated, okay, and they're speaking to his disciples on the Mount of Olives before he was taken up to heaven. Go into all the world. What audacity, friends. What man, God himself, giving his last commission to his disciples to go and change and transform the whole world. And friends, you and I know, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that Jesus has given to all of us. But we reach out and see his influence, impact, his change and transformation, they will take place. Friends, you and I have got the answer and the key to change our nation, even Malaysia. Friends, never give in, never give up, in spite of all the problems we are faced with, especially right now, friends. And it's so important. Let me close with an example. You know, in our free food distribution here, one man came to our cafe and was told, "Sorry, we're only starting tomorrow." He walked away a bit disappointed, right, to the car. And when I heard about it, I dashed out to grab hold of him, right, because his friend was going to drive him off. I just managed to grab him on time. He said, come, right? He wanted the food. He said, "Can I go and buy some food?" He said, yeah, sure, okay, very appreciative of that. I brought him to our cafe, right, and so cafe is, "Can you cook, okay? What would you like? Right, cook food for?" I said, "Can you wait for 10 minutes, okay? Right, the food will be ready." I said, "What about your friend out there in the car?" He said, "No, just for me, fine enough." In the process of waiting, I turned to him and said, "Hi, what's your name?" He says, "Mike." I said, "So good to be Mike. You know, Mike, my name is Daniel. I'm a pastor of a church." "Oh, this is a church. I didn't know that. Mike, you know what? You're very special. Out of 7 billion people, God take you to meet a pastor. So, Mike, are you a Christian?" He says, "No." I said, "My family is. I'm not." I said, "Mike, you know what? Today's a special day for you. Maybe this is the day for you to really trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Would you like to?" I say, "Yeah, of course, I'm very happy to." Friends, you know, it was my joy and privilege to lead Mike to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So, no, you know, friends, not only he went out with a free packet of food, he went out rejoicing, friends, knowing Jesus Christ as Lord of his life. What blessing, what privilege you and I have been given. And I pray, Mike, you come now, all right, believing that in the coming days he'll be discipleable to make a difference, to make a mark, really, friends, you know, here in our society, in our city, in our nation. Maybe one final story for all of us. Likewise, during our food distribution, for example, out there, okay, just in front of a guardhouse, where anyone can come and collect whatever number of packs of food, no restriction whatsoever, because we know every single pack taken is going to feed an empty stomach. Think about it, friends. Unheard of, unbelievable that here in Malaysia, we got a white flag movement, isn't it? So when people put up with a white flag at home, it means we have no food, isn't it? Right, it's shocking, but that's the reality of how deeply and badly the pandemic has hit people. And some of these come in very decent cars, fairly well dressed. You know, these are middle class people. It just shows, friends, how much this pandemic has hit everybody, right, including the middle class as well. So I was out there serving, okay, each day like this. There's a car who that passed by, and suddenly the car pulled aside, stopped, got down from the car. And that guy jumped in and said, "Hi, Pastor Daniel." I looked at him, of course. I said, "I remember you, of course. Okay, good to see you, David." So we chatted for a while. I said, "Where are you now? Where are you working?" That kind of thing. I haven't seen you quite some time. And then after that, he said, "Pastor, by the way, my girlfriend is in the car." I said, "Good, good. Can I meet her?" He said, "Yeah, sure, of course." So we went to the car, got her out. I said, "It's so good to meet you. What's your name?" "Jovita." "So good to meet you, Jovita. Okay, God bless you, Richard Jovita. By the way, Jovita, I'm a pastor, Jovita. You know, you're very special, right? Because out of 7 billion, we got to meet you, all right, bring you to meet a pastor, Jovita. Okay, so are you a Christian?" She says, "No." I said, "Jovita, you're not. It's a special day for you. Maybe today's a day that you take the step of faith to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Is that okay?" You know, she said, "Okay." So I took them aside. And it was my joy and privilege to lead her to faith in Christ, telling her 4 steps involved. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Thirdly, ask him to forgive you of your sins. Fourthly, invite Jesus to life as Lord and say, "Is it okay?" I said, "Yeah, sure." Simple step of faith, all right, in prayer. So I said, "David, good, join him." Friends, you know what? It was my huge privilege and joy to lead her. And I told David, "Jovita, now you come to do MC. All right, when we open up to help you in the journey of faith." Friends, you know what? When we all begin to do this, supposing there's 100,000 committed Christians in the Klang Valley, or there are a lot more, maybe just 100,000, for example, committed Christians in the Klang Valley. Think about it. If each one of us will influence, impact just one person, by the end of it, it becomes 200,000. Then next year, it becomes 400,000. Then following 800,000. The year after, okay, 1.6 million. And then 3.2 million, 6.4 million. Friends, in a matter of 6-7 years, you and I have impacted and transformed the whole Klang Valley. Malaysia, what's the issue? What's the problem? Friends, this is where there must be greater urgency in our nation, friends, to play our part well and right as Christians, you know. So important, because as I said, we got a key and the power to change society and transform lives of people, friends. Let's go for it, friends, with a sense of mission and urgency, and that's so important for us. So that, friends, one day there'll be such rejoicing and celebration in heaven as well as on earth. Listen, what blessing, what privilege, what joy indeed. Let us pray. Maybe for those who are listening in, if you're not yet a Christian, or you have backslided or drifted off in your faith, I want to lead you in this prayer, right, to commit your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or recommit your life anew and afresh. So if you'd like to, my friend, follow after this prayer, because as long as we pray this prayer sincerely, God, the all-knowing God, knows it all, and He will seal it by His Spirit in our heart, in our life. So if you'd like to follow after Him, just pray, would you? Lord Jesus Christ, I thank and I praise You for Your love for me. I want to acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I believe You died on the cross for my sin. Please forgive me of my sins. And now come into my life and meet my Lord and my Savior. Take control of my life. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit and Your power. And give me Your love, peace, and joy. And enable me from today onwards, Lord Jesus, to follow up to and be a faithful disciple of Yours. For I give You thanks and praise in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Lord, those who pray this prayer, You seal it deep in every heart, every life, because You're all-knowing God, and bring this new birth and new life to pass. Enable this, Father, I pray, O God, to grow in the fellowship of UMC and begin to be built up well and strong. So together, Father, I pray, we may reach out also, share the good news of Christ, and touch many for You and the purpose of the kingdom. So that Malaysia increasingly, oh God, I pray, Father, will be influenced and impacted and transformed for good, for Your name's sake and for Your glory, Father, I pray. And our Father, I pray for all of us, oh God. Lord God, we thank You for putting each one of us here in Malaysia. We praise Your holy name for Your design, oh God, in such a divine, oh God, manner for each one of us. And there's an ultimate purpose, Father, for you and I, oh God, to fulfill that You have called us to. And so, Father, I pray You help every one of us, so as Christians, not to live with a sense of despair or dejection in spite of all that has happened. Because we know the call to submit our Father, oh God, is an important call, a strong call, but also a call, oh God, to submit intelligently and wisely. So we uphold our leaders and nation to You, Father. You have mercy. You've been so good towards us, our Father, oh God. 64 years, oh God, since Merdeka. And very soon, Father, a celebration of Malaysia Day, oh God. Our Father, we bring our nation, our land, O God, to you, that we know your love so much. You will never leave or abandon Malaysia. And so, Lord, we bring our land standing together to believe you, O God, for a breakthrough to come in the coming days, our Father, we pray. So this nation, this land will be touched, changed, and transformed through your people as we play our role well as salt and light in our nation. So help us all, Father, we pray, because you are still in charge and control of this nation of ours, because you are Lord God Almighty, the Lord of the universe, O God, who stand confident in you, Father. So we look to you, O God, as we walk in faith, O God, and not in fear, as we seek to honor, love, and serve you all. So glorify your name, Father, I pray in all that, so that we will truly play our part well as citizens, as people here in Malaysia, Father, I pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. God bless all of you. Do MC. Have a great, okay, day, great week ahead, O God, in every way. Indeed, God bless you all.